Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Nicola Everett.
Hello, hope you're okay. Thanks ever so much for downloading today's podcast on Thursday, February the 12th. Coming up, bosses in Kent meet to discuss their budget. Why the regular closure of a road in Medway has led to a public meeting happening tonight, and employers across Kent are encouraged to take on an apprentice. But first, shocking dashcam footage at Kent Online today shows the moment a hit-and-run driver collided with a moped, leaving a granddad lying in the road unconscious. Well, Kate joins me now with more on our top story. Kate, what exactly happened?
Well, Marcus Kent was knocked off his Vespa motorbike at the Whitfield roundabout near Dover last June. He'd ridden from his home in Deal to Tesco Extra and was heading back when the collision happened. He suffered two punctured lungs and several broken bones and spent 5 days in hospital, and his injuries left the 65-year-old unable to work for several months.
And what do we know about the driver of the car?
Well, Tyler Keyes was driving his girlfriend's BMW at the time. He pulled out of the BP garage at the roundabout without looking. The dash cam footage you can see on the website shows the car ploughing straight into the moped, which had right of way at the time. 24-year-old Keyes, who's from St Radigan's Road in Dover, was arrested at his home 2 hours after the crash. A court heard he only had a provisional license at the time, and he admitted a number of offences, including serious injury by careless driving. He was given a suspended prison sentence in order to do 150 hours of unpaid work. He's also been given a 14-month driving ban.
And finally, Kate, what has the victim said about the punishment?
Mr. Kent told us he doesn't think the punishment fits the crime, saying he can just walk away from it. I believe the sentence was quite lenient. The crash also deprived him of his beloved Vespa, which he'd ride most weekends, meeting up with people at Deal Pier, something he says he can't do anymore. While Keyes was ordered to pay compensation, Mr. Kent doesn't think he'll ever see the money.
We do wish Mr. Kent all the very best as he continues to recover from his injuries. Kate, thank you ever so much.
Kent Online News.
A judge is going to decide tomorrow if a man who tried to kill a soldier near a barracks in Gillingham will be detained in a mental health facility or a prison. Anthony Essen, who has schizophrenia, attacked Lieutenant Colonel Mark Teaton in Sallyport Gardens in Brompton in July 2024. A 25-year-old from Mooring Road in Rochester is being sentenced this week after admitting attempted murder. Zombie knives, axes and swords have been found by police in Tenterden. The collection of 191 weapons was uncovered during a check on an address in the town following concerns. A crossbow, imitation revolvers and machetes were also discovered. Police say they're working with the collector. A Kent rapper who controlled his partner's social media and once swung an axe near her could be sent to jail. Tyler Wanstall, who's also known as TY, accused his victim of seeing other people and has admitted controlling and coercive behaviour. The 28-year-old, who lives on the Thanet Way in Herne Bay, was in breach of a suspended order at the time of his offending and will be sentenced later this year. A man's been arrested, charged and sentenced less than 2 days after stealing from a charity shop in Maidstone. Danny Crawley targeted the store on the high street last Wednesday and was identified on CCTV. The 44-year-old from Godstow Road in Abbeywood in London has been jailed for 35 weeks. Now, a meeting is taking place at County Hall today to discuss KCC's budget for the next financial year. It's Reform UK's first in charge of the authority. Previously, leader Lyndon Kemp-Caron has said the council is focusing on delivering savings for residents. Well, local Democracy reporter Simon Finlay has told us what we can expect.
Well, it's the annual budget meeting. It's a statutory duty of every county council to set a budget. The big thing that sort of emerged when the draft budget dropped in January was that there was going to be a 3.99% increase in council tax, which is actually about 1% below what most councils in the country are setting at around sort of 5%. The budget risk register does identify about £410 million of financial hazards, although that's not necessarily going to happen. And the budget will almost certainly go through because of Reform's numerical advantage. The main risks in the budget, as every council will attest to in the country, is that it lies mostly with adult social care. There was one piece of good news this week, though, because the government announced that they would be helping to clear all the councils in the country's deficits racked up through SEND, that's Special Educational Needs and Disability, although there is a sort of caveat from most councils to say that they're not thought to be significant enough to pay for the increasing costs going forward. It will likely be a stormy meeting. The opposition groups are trying to make some capital out of the fact that Reform have proposed having about £140,000 worth of political assistance appointments. We've only had one appointment so far, but they think that money should be ploughed into other and more substantial and more sort of public-led services. But there are other unknowns, such as the unseen costs, which might be attributed to local government reorganisation, which is coming down the track very, very quickly. But overall, it will be a balanced budget, but it does come with some significant risks.
Kent Online reports.
There's going to be a public meeting later over the regular closure of a busy road in Medway. The Lower Raynham Road, which runs from Gads Hill to Otterham Key Lane, was shut for 100 days last year. Gas, power and water pipe repairs have been blamed, with drivers having to often divert onto the A2 or through nearby Twiddle. Well, I've been speaking to Nishaba Khan, who's the Gillingham and Raynham MP.
It has a significant impact. I mean, I've been told stories of people missing medical appointments, people who were unable to meet with their elderly parents for whatever reason, you know, childcare missed, people just stuck in traffic for a long, long time. And of course, it creates pressures across the entire grid. Now, there is a role for the council to help coordinate that. But the issue is when companies list emergency works as the reason for doing a repair, there isn't really a way for the council to make that part of their wider sort of programme of road works. And what that can then lead to is several closures in different areas and pressure being funneled into one space. And certainly there is a lot of pressure on the A2 already. So when the Lower Raynham Road closes, it pushes traffic all the way up there. And that then creates a gridlock situation, which is incredibly frustrating for everybody. So this does need a real look at. It needs some longer term solutions. I'm particularly keen to see and understand what the Chief Executive SGN would like to do on this, because I understand that there is major infrastructure under that road, which often needs regular repairs. And if a gas leak is reported, et cetera, it needs to be looked at. But we really need to think about how we coordinate this. We can't say that the road will never be closed again. But what we need to do is ensure that people are prepared for that. They recognise what that looks like. And there is some recognition of the impact this is having on families, businesses and other residents.
Yeah, because we've got a couple of very popular pubs along there. And I think the landlord of one of them in particular has spoken out, because the closures always seem to be right near to his mm-hmm. business. It must be devastating for people like that who are trying to make money from, say, passing traffic or whatever. And then if no traffic can get past, you've effectively got no customers.
We've got some brilliant businesses down there. We've got a couple of pubs, we've got a restaurant. And when the road closes, it makes it so tricky for people to be able to access those spaces. And those businesses have said to me that it does absolutely have an impact on them. And again, it's the communication piece. They don't know when it's happening. It's really tricky for them to tell their residents or their customers what's going on. And it means that there's also sometimes miscommunication about whether the road's closed or not. I think it's just creating a real frustration. And in normal circumstances, people will say, well, you know, it's a road closure. But the consistent nature of this, the number of years it's been happening for and how often it happens is having a real impact. And I've spoken to some incredibly frustrated people. So I'm really keen to get some solutions. Obviously, as the MP, I've requested that there is better communication, and it is now up to those companies to deliver on that.
Anyone wanting to head along to that meeting should get in touch with Nishaba's office for details of the venue. Campaigners say plans to turn a derelict industrial building in Deal into three new homes would create a blot on the town centre. The former glasswork site in the Middle Street conservation area became vacant last year and now could be redeveloped. Those opposed say it could lead the way for other projects on sites not allocated in the council's local plan. A decision on the proposals is due later this year. Elsewhere, Kent Football Club has been told it must give up part of its land to a new housing development or it won't get its ground lease renewed. Tunbridge Angels FC have been told by the council they must accept the loss of the land in order to support a planning application for 350 homes next door to Longmead Stadium. Tunbridge and Morlingborough Council say they are continuing to engage with the club about their lease. Plans to rebuild an abandoned care home in Faversham Lewisham have been given the go-ahead. The redevelopment of Kingsfield's care centre in Jubilee Way into a retirement village stalled because of a dispute over community contributions. Well, developer Churchill Living have been told by the planning inspectorate the project can go ahead, but they must pay more than £40,000 towards local infrastructure. And people living in an iconic tower block in Margate have been told they face a £40,000 service charge to refurb the building. A recent report revealed a number of safety issues with the 18-storey tall Arlington House on the seafront. A company that owns it is hoping to start the work in the summer, with bosses telling councillors residents should get a loan or mortgage extension to cover the fee.
Kent Online reports.
Next today, and employers across Kent are being encouraged to consider taking on an apprentice. The EKC Group is looking for 100 pledges from businesses to consider it in the next 100 days. Greg Skinsley-Stevens is from EKC Training. He says there are plenty of incentives for bosses to get involved.
The 100 in 100 campaign, we've coincided the sort of the beginning of it with National Apprenticeship Week, which runs from the 9th to the 15th of February, which is an opportunity to celebrate apprentices in all sort of walks of life, all industries and all areas and at all levels. And the 100 in 100 campaign is us seeking to gain 100 pledges across the next 100 days from local employers across East Kent and the wider Kent region for them to take on an apprentice or explore the idea of taking on an apprentice and understand there are so many benefits and opportunities through taking on an apprentice. And we're in the right space to be able to provide that support. And we have dedicated teams to do so.
I suppose from a business point of view, it might seem a little bit confusing, maybe a little bit intimidating. They like the idea of taking on an apprentice, but actually the practicalities and, you know, having to fill out paperwork and making sure that everything's documented correctly might seem a little bit overwhelming, a bit prohibitive. But I suppose that's where you come in and you're able to sort of give that support and offer guidance to people where they need it.
Yeah, and I think one of the things that stands out for us as a training provider, particularly in the apprenticeship space, is that we have built a dedicated recruitment team and we offer a free recruitment service. So not only are we able to support employers coming to us seeking high quality, high caliber candidates from our campuses and from other learner and talent pools, but we're actually able to support a learner as well in seeking an employer. So we've got both avenues that work, you know, collaboratively with each other. So no matter what your starting point is, to get onto an apprenticeship, whether you have an employer and we're then supporting you to become your training provider, or you're a learner seeking employer, or you're an employer seeking a vacancy. There's so many different avenues for us to be able to support you with. And I think the big thing for us is in the real, you know, unique selling point is that it is a free service and we have built and developed a team of experts in their areas. So again, we're able to, you know, broaden the business's horizons, and we're able to work across many different industries and sectors to be able to support employers in understanding, you know, and sort of reducing down or demystifying the apprenticeship space.
And what would be some of the key benefits to employers if you were sort of selling an apprentice to a company, to an employer? What are some of the key benefits that they might find?
I think the biggest benefit is understanding and recognizing that by taking on an apprentice, you're breathing new life and talent into your business. And there's lots to be said in the innovation space. There's lots to be said in terms of new ideas coming into a business and helping to sort of shape the direction, the focus. It could be actually that taking on an apprentice gives you the ability to scale your business, take it to the next stage, whatever area that, you know, you're currently looking to develop. But there are some very tangible benefits as well. So there's some incentives out there. So depending on the age of the learner, there are financial incentives for taking on an apprentice that can contribute towards the training or some of the costs that are associated with taking on new staff, uniforms and so on. There is exemption from Class 1 national insurance for those apprentices under 25, which at the moment, you know, national insurance in the news and in society, that's a real benefit for businesses being able to keep down costs, but actually still continue to recruit and develop new talent. And I think there's a moral and ethical aspect to it, that we are working with employers that really want to dedicate their time, their expertise, and share that with, you know, apprentices. And that breathes life into the industry itself and actually helps the industry to grow or to rejuvenate, depending on, you know, where it's currently facing its challenges at the moment. So I think there's so many benefits to taking on an apprentice. I think the biggest barrier is just understanding how we can work with you and your business to really unlock that potential.
Now, their campaign is all part of National Apprenticeship Week, which aims to celebrate learners, their employers and educational partners. A sheltered housing complex in Medway is dealing with their second infestation of bedbugs in less than a year. Residents of Harrow Court in Lordswood say it's taken more than 6 weeks for landlords Anchor Housing to call in the pest control experts. They also say they're facing a hefty bill to eradicate the problem. Well, Anchor Housing have apologised and say they're doing everything they can to resolve the issue as quickly as possible. The Kent Online podcast has been told it's likely to cost £5,000 to clean up a load of fly-tipped waste in Maidstone. The rubbish was found dumped on Yelstead Lane and an investigation led to three people being arrested. A vehicle has also been seized. Bosses in the town say organised environmental crime will not be tolerated. A charity that runs music sessions in schools and colleges across Kent is set to lose nearly £60,000 in funding. It's part of spending cuts that have been set out in a draft budget. Bosses at Kent Music say they're aiming to keep going to provide opportunities for young people. Fashion retailer LK Bennett is expected to close two Kent stores after falling into administration. There's a shop at Bluewater and within the Hooper's department store in Tunbridge Wells. It's understood they'll go by April.
Kent Online News.
But showbiz news now, and Leanne has been on our sister radio station KMFM talking about her debut album. The former Little Mix star caught up with Jack on the Hit List ahead of the release of My Ego Told Me To next week. It's an independent album that's taken 2 years to put together. She says it feels amazing to have finished.
I think it's the fact that, like, it hasn't been plain sailing to get to this moment. Mm. Like, it's been 2 years, up and down, but it's just made this moment sweeter for me.
Mm, I can imagine.
It really has. And like knowing I've got this album over the line, like on my own. Like,
yeah.
Like I've done this myself and I just feel so fucking proud. And it's literally just the way I want it. This album is just so true to who I am as an artist and everything that I could have envisioned for myself for my debut. Like, I'm so happy.
And it's such a... And I say this because I think I'm so proud. And you were somebody, I mean, from the Little Mix group. When your first single came out, way back when, I was so excited for the album that I knew was going to come at some point. But it's such a high quality album. You wouldn't go, oh, you know, she's an independent artist. She's doing it herself. I know that you have, and I know that you've funded it yourself, which is amazing. Did you feel like? Because you are doing it yourself and you're, not that you're a one-man band, because I'm sure you've got so many people supporting
great
you.
Great team. Mm-hmm.
Did you feel a different kind of pressure knowing that you're the driving force behind this?
Yes.
Yeah? Good.
Yeah, 100%. I think, I really, like, this whole album is about trusting my gut. Mm. Trusting my instinct, and I think I always say like that my gut never fails me, and I think the more I leaned into that, the more I was like, I've got this, like I know what I'm doing, as daunting as it is, because like I have to oversee everything, I've done everything, like even down to like the track listing, mm. or like putting all that the songs together and like where things should go. Like I remember asking my A&R, because I outsourced an A&R called Jade, she's amazing. Mm-hmm. And I was like, can you help me with this? And she's like, no, Leanne, it's your album. You know what you're doing.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, you're right. Like, but I'd never had to do that before. You would always have help from the label, like the A&R to put your album together with you. Mm. But like even that, like trusting myself to do that, I'm like, but yeah, no, I think it just sort of proves that like I can, I'm doing it, you know?
Yeah.
Like I know what I'm doing, and I do have a great team around me. And for me, it's always been about find your tribe, like find the people that believe in you and get it and see your vision. And maybe I didn't really have that when I started this solo journey, but I bloody have it now.
Yeah.
And like, it just, yeah, everything happens for a reason.
And you can listen back to the chat in full by heading to kmfm.co.uk. A pair of binoculars used by the man who invented the bouncing bomb are due to go under the hammer later. Sir Barnes Wallace used them to watch the explosive being tested in the seas off Reculver during the Second World War. They were later used in the iconic film The Dam Busters and could fetch up to £10,000 at auction. A ceremony is taking place in Kent today to mark the 40th anniversary of the signing of an agreement which led to the construction of the Channel Tunnel. The Treaty of Canterbury is said to have shaped how the UK and France work together. An engraved stone will be unveiled within the city's cathedral. And a Kent Rescue Centre has launched a Valentine's appeal to find a home for two dogs. Manny the Pug and Jack Russell Dolly became such good friends that when they went to Battersea at Brands Hatch, a decision's been made to keep them together. The charity's described it as a love story and is hoping someone will adopt them both. And Royal Mail is issuing a set of 12 stamps to celebrate the world of Margate-based Hornby model railways. Each stamp will feature an exclusive photo of an iconic Hornby model. They're available to pre-order from today.
Kent Online Sport.
Football first up, and the Gillingham manager says he's certain he can bring success to the club, but admits there's no quick fix. The Jewels have won three of their last five games, and Gareth Ainsworth is urging patience while he turns things around. They head to Crewe this weekend, sitting 8 points off the playoff places in League Two with 17 games remaining. Staying with football, and Maidstone's Alessia Russo scored for Arsenal last night as they beat Leuven 4-0 in Belgium in the playoff round of the Women's Champions League. The return fixture is in London next Wednesday, with the winners facing Chelsea in the quarterfinals. And Kent's Matt Weston has been in action at the Winter Olympics in Italy. The skeleton star's been taking part in the heats at the Cortina Sliding Stadium. The 28-year-old from Tunbridge Wells and his partner are current world champions, and Matt is tipped for gold. Well, that's all from us for today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on socials, plus you can get details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via the briefing. To sign up to that, just head to kentonline.co.uk, and whilst you're on the website, you can sign up to Kent Online Premium. That gives you access to content with fewer ads and exclusive stories.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.